Pastor Cola, in Psalm 1:3, I shall not be moved. There's nothing that, and listen, I didn't come to move you. I just come to remind you.
Hallelujah.
If what he has done doesn't move you, nothing I say will move you. But when you look in the rearview mirror and you look in front of you and you begin to see what God has done, your soul cries, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lose It doesn't matter what you've done, you lose all your guilty stain. I'm so glad that sinners just like me and you nourish blanch beneath that flow, lose all. Hallelujah. That song has been in my spirit all week. That gift to stay. A dying thief rejoiced. Did anybody come to thank God today to see that fountain in his day? But I still can lose all, lose all. It doesn't matter what you've done, you can lose, lose all. Drop it at the foot of the cross and leave it there with the one who paid the debt of your sin. Lose all. Is there anybody glad today? You've lost all. Hallelujah. Lose all. I yield to stay. Hallelujah. 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 Stop wondering about people who couldn't understand your praise. But when you consider the cost of his blood, when you consider Calvary's suffering, when you consider what he did on your behalf, you ought to come in with thanksgiving. We ought to come in with joy. We ought to come in with praise. For he has done for us what nobody else could do. Hallelujah. Church becomes sweeter. We move beyond the pettiness when we begin to focus on the blood. Hallelujah. I know I'm right about it. It changes our perspective of our lives. It changes our understanding of our destiny. It changes the bountifulness of our blessing when we can celebrate the blood. Without the blood, we're still lost. Without his blood, we are in our sin. And as Paul says, among all men, we're most miserable if God left him in the grave. But can we celebrate that he is alive? Oh, hallelujah. It's been my prayer for 2 weeks now that God would bring that reminder to us weekly, that Hopewell would remember that he is alive. And because he lives, whatever you're facing in your individual struggle, whatever we face collectively as a church, whatever the nation and our community faces, we can make it. Oh, beloved, I wish you would be encouraged. I'm already preaching right now. The blood of Jesus for us. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you right now for once again bringing us to this moment of hearing from you. We thank you for what you've deposited in this vessel this week to deliver unto your people. God, I pray that Satan is reminded right now he has no power to back us up, to close our mouth, to cause us to cease to speak the things that pertain to you, God. We praise you right now for that kind of liberty. We thank you for that authority now of your Holy Spirit. We praise you, God, for every soul, every life that mattered on the cross present in this room. We thank you for your forgiveness right now. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the magnitude and the might of your blessing right now. You've made many in this room overcomers already, God. And then, God, you're giving strength to the weak right now. You're giving power to those who've been without power. God, you're giving forgiveness to those who've been in sin. You're giving healing right now to those who are sick. And God, we thank you that you're bringing joy and peace to troubled hearts and minds. And so, God, we just simply come to say thank you for all that you have done. Let this be a house filled with your thanksgiving, God, and giving praise unto you for all you have done for us. For when we consider the wretches that we were, undone by our sin, God, we can recognize that it's only because you've chosen to be good and to bless us once more. We don't take lightly this opportunity we have together with our brothers and sisters. Then remind us, God, that it's all about you. It's all about your sacrifice and the blood you shed on Calvary. We thank you, God, for all of those blessings. Now, God, as you operate in this vessel, send your anointing for this moment, God. We pray that it's with integrity and authenticity of your word that we handle what belongs to you, God, that we share it and give the full counsel of your word. God, we pray now for the hearers to become doers of your word. We pray for those who hear with skepticism, God, and doubt to become believers. And then, God, we encourage the saints by your word to remind us that we're on the right path, that we're in your will, God. We thank you for the strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Good to see you, Brother William, back in the house of the Lord. God is a healer. Hallelujah. We believe, God, for the total healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, we believe it for you right now. Amen. As well as others in this house who may be going through sickness, we believe God is able to heal. But let me tell you this, your faith is the fulcrum on which the power comes. If you believe God will heal you, watch him work. Hallelujah. Is there anybody ever tried him? Hallelujah. And he can reach you from where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Some folk are already ready to go. But I pray you catch this before you leave. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to read through verse number 7. Whatever version you have, join with us. Pray with us as the Lord will deliver this message to the saints in this Christmas season. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. You may be seated. That verse 7, Pastor Cole, is sweet unto me. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I want to talk from this particular thought on today, blood-bought blessings. Blood-bought blessings. This is the Advent season where we celebrate the arrival of the Christ baby, Jesus, into the world. I was in the back, but I did overhear Deacon Smith talk about his coming and also his resurrection as being relevant to where we are in our walk with God. And I stressed that at the beginning because oftentimes around this season, some can be frustrated by the gifts or the lack of gifts that you find that are laying under a tree. But I would encourage you today, remind you that we as Christians don't really celebrate, don't really get into a whole lot the gifts that are under trees today. For we thank God for the gift that was on a tree many years prior. I know for some who are not perhaps mature, you may still say, well, yeah, I hear all of that, but you know, I still look for the gift under the tree. I pray the Lord your strength that he would encourage you even in this moment to realize that what you have been given through Jesus Christ will always outweigh anything you'll ever get under a tree. When I thought about this, I was reminded of the story of how one of our favorite hymns in the hymnal ever came to be. It was a hymn written by Edward Mote, who was a clergyman in West Sussex, England, around 1834. As he penned the words to the famous hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." And whether we realize it or not, it's really just an anthem of thanksgiving. I don't know how familiar you are with the song, but really all it is, it's God's grace in action, that he gives us something of which to build our hope upon. When you read that song, you see in verses 2 and 3, it talks to us about how God's grace is sufficient in times of trouble. It talks about how God is able to help us when life becomes dark and we cannot find our way. Not only that, it tells us how when things begin to flood our experience, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. The fourth stanza of that song talks about how the believer's desire is to be one with the Lord and to be found in him at the end of time when everything has wound up. But what I love about the song, Pastor Cole, is that the beginning of the song talks about these words. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, y'all ain't never sung that song. Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And then to bring emphasis to what he said, he says it again, "All other ground is sinking sand." But what he wants us to understand is that the fulcrum of our faith is built upon the fact that there was blood that brought righteousness. And if you can understand that, you're already with me, you're already where you need to be in the text, is that you understand that we have a blood religion. Can I just tell you that a bloodless religion scares me. I wish I had some help in here. A bloodless faith is scary to me because while it comes without scars, it can never bring healing. Are y'all going to talk to me? While it may excuse you from the pain, it'll never produce power. Help me, Holy Spirit. While it may excuse you and allow you to evade a death and a demise, it will never bring deliverance and forgiveness. So I want to come to tell you today that we ought to be thankful that there is some blood attached to our salvation. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. In other words, somebody had to spill some blood in order for us to experience what we have right now. Y'all ran around the sanctuary, you waved your hand, and we had praise just a few moments ago. But at the end of the day and at the bottom of all of that, it boils down to the fact that Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary and poured out his blood there for us, and that's why we celebrate him. You didn't come to look at me. I'm not much to look at anyway.
neighbor sitting on the pew. I hope you did not come to look at your boo, your baby, and your boo thing, but you come because the blood has power in your life, and you come to celebrate him in this season above everything else. Sometimes the church can get confused with herself because we put all the stuff above Christ and everything before the blood. But without the blood, we have no faith. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. And all of us in this room are still in our sin. Here it is. Here it is. I thank God because a bloodless faith, a bloodless religion would not help us at all. Here it is, the record of my life. Here's why bloodless religion will not help me. The record of my life says that I'm faulty, faulty in my thinking and sticking in my actions. I'm frail. That means that what I would be strong enough to overcome, I can't do it because it ain't in me. I'm faulty and I'm frail and I'm fragile. I can't handle the stuff the devil does to me. It would overwhelm me if it were not for the power that came from somewhere else. Here it is, here it is. In case you did not know, Paul helps us in Romans 3:23 by telling us, regardless of how beautiful you are in here today, he says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you don't know what all of us mean, that means from the White House to your house. That's right. And there is a mess in the White House. Right. But that's for another day, but it's a mess in your house as well. Yeah. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how is it that we're able to recover from falling short and missing the glory of God? I tell you what closes the gap. It's the blood. Yeah, y'all still kind of quiet. If this was a house that we really understood what God has delivered us from and helped us to overcome, we would celebrate just the fact every time somebody said something about the blood, you would just be like to lose your mind, because you could think about all the stuff the blood has helped you to overcome, and the blood has forgiven you for, and the blood has given you strength over. When somebody says the blood, it ought to produce praise in your heart and thanksgiving on your lips, because nothing can cause power and give deliverance like the blood of Jesus. He had not went to Calvary, all of us would be in our sin. When we look in this text, I don't want to be too long today. When we look in this text, we see some blessings that come to us by the blood. The first thing he tells us in verse 3 is there is a divine doorway. Here it is, Paul writing to this church that would ultimately in Revelation have already left their first love. He reminds them of who they are and what they have now in Christ. Let me tell you something. It's great that we could come to church and you can hear about how you're going to have a house and a car and all of those degrees on the wall and find friends and go wherever you want to in the world. But every now and then you ought to just show up at the house of God to be reminded of what you have in Jesus and who you are in him. What messes the church up in the modern day is we've lost sight of the fact that we are something else in Christ and we have something else through Christ. But we come looking for the stuff that ultimately is temporal and fading away, and we put more value on that than the things of the Spirit and the things that belong to us through Christ. That's why you can't praise like you need to, because you're worrying about where's my stuff. But I come to tell you about some stuff that you can't buy in Walmart. You can't order on Amazon. It only comes by the grace of God. And watch this, baby. Everything he has, and I tell you today, it comes to you free of charge. But it costs him a whole lot to get it to your address. Here it is. He says, divine doorway. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Let me show you the principle in that. He says, because when you understand that you have something now that you would not have otherwise, you learn how to bless the one who blessed you with it. You learn how to bless the blessor.
You learn how to shabbat him. You learn how to come into his house ready to thank him and to offer a sacrifice of praise because you're grateful that he even puts you on the list. Yes.
Right.
Children all over the world are wondering what they're going to be morally able to receive anything from Santa Claus. The parents, I'm not going to tell them the real deal about Santa Claus. But we'll just say that they're wondering whether they made his list because they're naughty or nice. Well, here's the beautiful thing about Christ's list. It doesn't matter whether you've been naughty or nice. And most of us, we'll be honest, we've been more naughty than nice. We still made his list because here it is. He blessed us with it anyway. He makes a doorway, he says, that has blessed us with spiritual blessings and it has put us in heavenly places. Here it is. You have to consider this in the context of the low places you occupied in your flesh. Oh, we don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about the low places that we occupied in our low self-esteem, in our sadness, in our depression, in our struggle. We don't like to talk about those things, but those were some low places. Garth Brooks wrote a song a long time ago, said, I've got friends in low places. Where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases all of my blues away. Some of us have found ourselves in a place in our life where we were right there. We had a misery party because all of us were miserable and we were living life at the bottom. But what he says is that on a fast trajectory, on a fast track, when you came to Christ, he shut your life up. And now where you occupy, through that doorway of faith has brought you into the heavenly places, some high places where you now presently occupy. Where you used to have sadness, you now have joy. Where you used to have turmoil, you now live in the place of peace. Where you used to live in the place of condemnation and frustration, now you live in the place of blessing and favor and anointing and the filling of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly places that we're taking for granted. He says, there's a divine doorway that because you chose to turn the handle of the door that God put there before you through Jesus, now you have entered into the place that allows you to rise above and to live high like an eagle. Folks, I'm telling you, if we can't thank God for anything else, you ought to thank God for the high place that he's given you through a divine doorway. But not only that, number two, he's given us focus favor. Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He chose us. I heard my wife say in prayer earlier that let us become the ecclesia of God. Ect out of, klesis, called. God called you out of sin, out of the world, and not just to call you out, to keep you out, but call you out to bring you into his covenant relationship with you, to bring you into the blessings that he has for you because he has chosen us. Some of us have never been chosen for anything else in our life because our life was so raggedy. We didn't have the qualifications to be picked for the job. You didn't have the right things about you to be picked to be the wife or the husband. You didn't have those things that people were looking for to be chosen. But it doesn't matter what you did and who you look like and where you came from and how you lived prior to that, God still chose us. And here it is, as the divine architect of the universe, he chose you as a construction project long before you entered the space of your mother's womb. God had helped me, Holy Spirit. God had already chosen you. And here it is, even though others may have cursed you in the womb, and you may have cursed yourself since you've been here, but don't lose sight of the fact that God chose you. If you exited out of the birth canal, and if you took one breath since you've been here, God has a purpose for your life, and he wants to choose somebody in this room today.
That's right.
Chosen us before the foundation of the world
See, the divine architect of the world, of the universe, he puts in motion a plan that chooses us before we ever knew that he was there wanting to choose us. Amen. Chose us in him. That means to the Hebrew, God chose them as his people even before Abraham was ever told to leave the land of Ur. That means as believers, he chose you before you ever came to know him in the pardon of your sin. That means that God's love was extended to you way before you ever knew that there was a love trying to reach you. He doesn't choose us like we choose folk. We look at them, we survey them top to bottom, and then we make a definitive choice because of what we see. I choose you. Problem with that would be some would be excluded. God chooses us in him as he chooses Christ to be our pathway toward him. So what he in essence says that all who choose Christ have chosen the path that he's chosen for them because they were chosen to follow him that way. He wants you to understand today that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world with purpose that we should be wholly set apart to him. Without blame before him, in love. John helps us to understand this blameless in love in that he says to us that even as we're not perfect by our lifestyle and our experience with sin, we are to be perfect in our love. Believers, beloved, you are to be perfect in your love because God has loved us. He loved us in choosing us. And so he says that we ought to be set aside unto him and blameless in our love. Not only do we see divine doorway, we see focused favor, we also see ourselves as chosen children. It's ordered that we will become children. As he chooses to adopt us through Jesus Christ, to bring us to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He makes a decision to bring us into the family, into the household of faith, those of us who were enemies of his because of sin. As a matter of fact, with the time that he makes the extension of the offering that brings us in, we were playing for the other team. We were wearing the other uniform. And yet God chooses us to be on his side. Don't you know that when you are children, you become an heir of everything of the promise? That means that now you have come into the place of where you have access to everything that's in him. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter number 8, he says, how shall he who has spared not his own son not also with him freely give us all things? Jesus, the beloved, only begotten of the Father, having access to all of him, full of grace and truth. Now he has adopted us through Jesus Christ. We now have access to all of the fruit of the blessings of God. It was his great pleasure to bring us in. It's his great pleasure in planning for our adoption. By faith in him, which was the gift that came from God. It was a gift toward us by God, and it was from the hand of God that it arrives at us. We now have access. Through his beloved Son, he has made us accepted in his sight. In other words, God does not see us as strangers and as enemies. He sees us as sons and daughters, as those who are of the covenant, those who stand in line to receive from him forever. This doesn't make anybody glad today.
Y'all looking at me kind of funny. I know you want to see it in your bank account. You want to see it in your driveway and in your closet and in your refrigerator. But can I just tell you, these blessings I'm talking about today have nothing to do with those temporal things that are passing away. I only came today to remind you of the eternal blessings of God that he has on your life, that you got to learn how to rejoice in your dark days, in your difficult moments, in your sickness, in your distress. These kind of blessings will get you through those moments and over those hurdles and around those pitfalls and over those dangers, because they have weight and substance for your life. He wants you to know that you have access now to him, that you can pray directly to him, because you are a son and a daughter, and what the son gets from him, you can get from him. You can have power, strength, anointing, blessing, favor. All of those things are yours because you are his. And anybody in here that's given your life to him, you ought to celebrate and say, I'm his, and I've got everything that belongs to him. I'm a son and a daughter. I'm not a stranger and a foreigner. I've got access now. I thank God. Now you walk. Now you're thinking about those things that God has used to bring you over. When other folk had took their hands on you, he put his arm around you. When other folk looked away from you and even gave you a funny look, God looked at you and gave you the okay look. Baby, everything is going to work out. It will turn for your good. I'm working it out in your favor. You want to thank God for those kind of blessings. They don't expire. They don't dry up. They don't run out. They don't dissipate. They don't forsake you when you need them the most. They're always there, and they're always available for you, because you have favor as his child, and because you walk through the doorway of faith. Because you have done that, you've seen him open doors that no devil in hell could close. You've seen him favor you when other folk wanted to cut you out. And you've seen him claim you when other folks took their hands off of you and could not stand to be in your presence. You ought to thank God that you're blessed and highly favored. Here it is. I'm done when I tell you this. I left verse 2 off on purpose because I wanted to come back to it at the end, because here it is. He reminds the church in Ephesus in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was looking at that text, the Holy Spirit kept talking to me and kept working with me. And he reminded me that you got to remind the saints of God at Hopewell that grace and peace are blood-bought blessings. In other words, they're by blood blessings. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. You don't get grace and you don't get peace from God and with God unless there's some blood from Christ. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. See, everybody want grace and peace with God, but you got to understand, in order to have peace with God, mercy had to work in your favor, and then something had to satisfy what would cause a difference in God giving you all he had a desire to bless you with, and he had to exercise grace in order to get it to your address. And so what you begin to understand is, I don't have grace and I don't have peace unless I got the blood. Y'all still missing it. I said, nobody in here has grace, and you can't get to peace with God until there is the blood. So can I leave you with this? Here it is in verse 7. He tells us some blood benefits. He says that now through the blood of Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. And we have forgiveness of our sins yet. And he says to us that you got to understand, redemption is a commercial transaction. In other words, it's when somebody has to make a purchase on behalf of something that cannot be bought by anybody else. And so what he says is that he chooses to buy us back from the hand of one who holds us in damnation and sorrow. That's why I love the psalmist that said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he has bought from the hand of the enemy. Is there any
it was the most damning way to die. It was reserved for the vilest of criminals. But my Bible tells me in Philippians 2 that Jesus Christ endured the cross and despised the shame of it, and he humbled himself, and he died on the cross for our sin. He died. Not only do you need to consider the cross, you got to consider the Christ. Well, he didn't just come for that moment, but I heard Peter tell the church that he was slain before the foundation of the world. God had ordered him and ordained that the Lamb would come as the Messiah of all history, and he was manifest in the last days for you. Over in Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, that they found under the table the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. All I'm trying to tell you, his pouring on the cross preceded your plight. In other words, he didn't wait till you messed up. He was already in place before we ever sinned. But you got to understand that God knew what we needed. He provided what we needed. You thank God for the cross. You thank God for the Christ. But you ought to got to thank God for the cross. I said, thank God for the cost. What did it cost him? It cost him losing the allegiance of many that had followed him. In John chapter 6, they walked away from him. It cost him Peter's denying him. It cost him the desertion of the 11 that remained. It cost him being betrayed by Judas. It cost him being lied on in the courtroom. It cost him hanging between two thieves. It cost him pouring out his blood as he was nailed in his hands. It cost him a spike in his feet. It cost him a spear in his side. It cost him a crown of thorns on his head. It cost him laying his head in the locks of his shoulders. It cost him forsaken by his father on the cross. It cost him dying for all the sins of the world. But that cost came with a purpose, because early Sunday morning he got up all power, all power, and now we have forgiveness of our sins. All I'm trying to tell you, hope will rejoice. He has removed all of your sins from you. You ought to slap your neighbor one good high five and tell your neighbor, he washed me. He washed me. He washed me in his blood, and now I'm clean. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I said, slap your neighbor one good high five and tell your neighbor, he washed me. In my sins are gone from me. He washed me in his blood. I thank God I've been washed. Is there anybody here that can celebrate? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and now I thank God my sins are forgiven. I got one more part and I'm out of y'all's way. He says it's according to his riches in grace. Can I ask you one question? How rich is our God? Is there anybody in here that can testify he's rich? He's rich. He's rich. How do you know? The psalmist said the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. How rich is God? He said grace is sufficient. Is there anybody here that thanks God? You can sing the song, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind.
I thank God for grace. 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 How sweet is God's grace. I said it's sweet in the morning, sweet in the noonday, sweet late in the midnight hour. Is there anybody tried him at his word? He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to recover. I'm talking about grace. I'm talking about grace. Hallelujah. My soul is happy. Hallelujah. Blood-bought blessings. You ought to thank God this week that there's a divine doorway. That manger that came down through 42 generations was God's doorway being open to us to let us know that he has come to redeem his people. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. The fullness of time had come. Paul wants us to understand that we have a divine doorway. But then we have to learn that we were favored. Can I tell you that he favored us from the first and fitted us for the faith? Y'all missed it. Favored you from the first. We know love because God is love, and God first loved us. He favors us. But then he chose us as his children. Somebody in this room, people didn't want you. You may have been a candidate for an abortion. And even when you came, people reminded you that they didn't ask for you. But isn't it good to know that you have divine providence over your life? That for whatever reason, they could not make the decision, could not pull the trigger to abort you, and you did not die in the womb. You had a birth date. Because he chose you for life. Let me tell you something. The 9 months in this womb is a struggle. Your mother say, yeah, for us too. Before that baby that's trying to survive the 9 months to make it to the day of birth, that baby comes forth crying, because it survived, makes it to life. Can I tell you that the life that you live here is not anything different? It's a struggle. But you need to remember that God chose you for life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, regardless of what you go through in this world, it prepares you for a destiny of glory for him and with him forever. Don't curse the things that have happened in your life. Use them to learn from them. Young people, you did not control how you got here and who you came to when you came here. But live for the glory of God. He chose us as his children. You're not a rejected stepchild. You're not an orphan. You are a chosen generation. But then you need to remember that not only is it a divine doorway, you have some favor and you're chosen children, but you have some blood benefits. You are redeemed by the Lord. And he has extended forgiveness for your sins. You are cleansed and you are covered. We want to extend an invitation right now for anyone who desires that fellowship and that relationship to be cleansed and to be covered right now by him. It won't always be like this. Can we stand as we're praying? God will perfect that concerning you.
sooner or later, it's gonna turn in your favor.
Hallelujah. Will there be one
around for you?
Let's remind the church one more time of that.
It won't always be like this.
Hallelujah. Why don't you look at your neighbor and just tell them
that concerning you.
Y'all ain't saying nothing. I said, tell somebody, encourage somebody today. Tell them it's turning around. Tell somebody, encourage them. Deacons, tell somebody that God is going to turn their life around. Mothers, tell somebody. Ministers, tell somebody. Members, tell somebody in this room that God is going to turn something around in their life. He has favored you. He has chosen you. He has fitted you for something of purpose, something of His divine destiny. His order is being restored in your life. His created purpose is being restored in your life. The elevation of your mind is coming to you now as you begin to understand what you're called to walk in. But you got to trust God in this moment.
Turning around for me.
Can anybody just wave a hand as a testimony in this room? Can you see some things that are moving in a different direction? Beginning to spin. Taking a 180 in your life. See all the hands in here? If anybody's wondering if you can trust God, look at all the hands in this room. Look at all the hands of those who can see the hand of God moving in their life right now. They're overcoming pain and persecution and trial and tragedies and dilemmas in their life. They're overcoming sickness and disease and overcoming sins and addiction is being broken in their life. Look at all the hands that are being raised in this house. God giving finances, hallelujah, to your household that will sustain you. He's turning it around. Do we believe that, church? He's turning it around. He's turning it around. And somebody, can you shout? He already turned it around. He already worked that thing out. Do we have any witnesses in here? He's already worked it out. He's already told me that I can trust Him right now. All I've got to do is wait on God for the manifestation of what He's already promised. Can I encourage somebody with this thought? That the moment God began to speak to you in your spirit, He was already moving on your behalf. You're waiting on the manifestation to give God some praise. But God told me to tell you today that you ought to break forth right now with a running. You ought to break forth with a praise. You ought to open up your mouth and lift your hands to heaven right now. And you ought to tell God, thank you in advance for what He's already promised to do. You can't wait on it to manifest always. Sometimes you got to trust God on the credit of what His word said. He told you you were going to own it. He told you you were going to have it. You could possess it. He told you it was yours. You got to walk in that right now. And more than anything, I'm not just talking to you about material blessing. I can't preach to you about spiritual blessing and think and leave you thinking that all I'm talking about is material blessings in your life. I'm talking about the spiritual things. God wants somebody to have some peace. You've been laying awake at night all week long. God wants somebody to have some joy again. You need to know the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to know that joy has come this morning. Your weeping endured last night, but its joy has come today. Somebody needs to know that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. The accident won't take your life. Somebody better help me in here. I said the accident won't take your life. The sickness is not unto death. Do you hear what I'm saying to you in this room today? I said, do you hear what I'm saying to you in this room today? The sickness is not unto death. The accident will not take your life. Your enemies that are surrounding you, God says they're going to fall. They're going to fall flat on their face. They will not succeed in what they're trying to do in your life. Does anybody in this house hear me? You've been believing the lie of the enemy for too long. He told you that you should occupy the bottom and to be below and to be beneath. But I'm walking around this house right now as a testimony.
of how God is encircling your life, how he's enclosing you in, how he's insulating you now from the lies and the tricks of the enemy. Preachers, can y'all just walk with me around the house? Whatever direction the Lord leads you in, just walk around the house to show those who are here how God is insulating them from all the hurt of their past mistakes, how God is insulating them from the lies and accusations of Satan, how God is keeping you from low self-esteem and depression. Deacons, can you join us in the walk around the house? Can we just march around the city of Hopewell right now, reminding those who are here that God is keeping you in perfect peace. He's keeping you who are keeping your mind stayed on him. Look at how God is covering somebody. Look at how God is keeping somebody. Look at how God is operating in somebody's life to remind them of the standard that he has lifted up before them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in this house. You need to know that there are leaders who are going to the Lord on your behalf. That's why I asked them to walk around the city of Hopewell today, to remind you that you're not uncovered, and that above all things, we who are belonging to God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Can I tell you that there's some moments where you're going to get in some difficult situations, where it's going to get dark in your experience, but you need to know that God is a very present help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he sends his angels to encamp all around them that fear him. I know I'm right, Pastor Cole. Anybody seen his angels encamping around you? Anybody seen his joy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give God praise in this sanctuary. Hallelujah. Everything that God promised, it comes to us through the blood of Jesus. You rejoice in that today. Amen. You rejoice in the fellowship and the joy of the Lord. Oh, I can't promise you that they don't know the calendar when it turns. But just know that it's turning. I can't tell you how many weeks it may be, how many hours it may be, but your faith is your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We got a praise report, a testimony, and a prayer request. Amen.
Praise and honor to God, Pastor Davis and Mrs. Davison. As Pastor Davison said, this sickness is not unto death. And I give and praise God credit for it, because I know that he supplies and takes care of all of my needs in his time. And I just thank you all for praying for me and standing with me, and for reading the word back to me and reciting it back to let me know his will be done.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. But this sickness is not unto death. Thank you.
Right. Amen. Amen. Rising, giving unto God who is the head of my life. I'm coming up here standing in the gap for my daughter, Laysha. Many of you may know she had a wreck on Friday. She was at school, and she was she have a job on campus, so she was going to campus, and somebody ran a stop sign and hit the driver's side. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all, because I was angry with God, because every day before I talked to my kids, I said, Lord, please cover them. No ticket, accidents, hurts, harm, or danger, turn to my children, whatever. So my children are my strength and they're my weakness. So I didn't get the phone call from that. Got it from a friend, and they was like, I get off from work at 4 o'clock, so I got the call at 3:56.
Alaysia been in a bad wreck, and she's in the back of the ambulance, and we don't know what's going on. So I immediately started clocking out. So one of my supervisors said, where are you going? I said, my daughter been in a bad wreck. I got to go. My daughter lived, she was 2.5 hours away from home. And they was like, well, you got to tell. I got to go because I don't know the condition of my child. So I get there. We're on the way. That's the longest ride ever. I get there, I run into a parade, but I called Tyrell, and he got there within an hour. So we still didn't know what was going on. But like Pastor said, it's a blood bought blessing. Even though I plead the blood over them, she didn't lose her life. She had bruises, but she didn't lose her life. So God said, I'm going to turn it. The devil meant it for evil, but I'm going to work it out for your good because I spared her life. That car is total, but her life is spared. So I'm saying it's many people that didn't walk out, didn't walk away from accidents. So I'm standing and say, God, I don't know why you did it, but I'm thankful and grateful that you spared my baby's life. Because 2 days prior to that, she said, Mom, I had a dream that I had a head-on collision. So when our children speak to us, we have to take heed. But even before that, every day, 7 days a week, I plead the blood of Jesus. So I know the blood works. Some of y'all sitting in here like y'all don't know the blood works. The blood works, and it covers us. Even though we're not always right, we don't do everything the same way, but God still covers us. So I thank God for his covering.
Amen.
Amen. I have a friend that gets on every Sunday that I go live, and she has been going through an issue with her kidneys. And she messaged me while the video was on live, and she said, I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm in the last stage of kidney failure, and they are putting her on dialysis on Wednesday. And so she is asking us to intercede on her behalf, that God will work a miracle for her. And the message that was preached on today was right on time for her. Blood bought blessings, because God is the only one that's able to heal, deliver, and set free. So I ask that you will remember her in prayer. Her name is Stephanie. Just lift her up before the Lord. She goes into the doctor on Wednesday. So if you are willing on Wednesday, I will be fasting and praying for her. So if you are willing throughout the day, just fast and pray on her behalf and on behalf of anybody else that may be going through any type of sickness.
Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this privilege of being able to call on your name right now. We pray, God, that you will remember your daughter, Miss Alaysia Bone. We thank you for your mercy and your grace in that accident, that it was not unto death. God, you allowed for the demise of the vehicle, but you kept her alive. We know, God, that they may have reasons for why she survived, but God, we know it was because you're gracious. We believe you, God, by faith, that you sent your angels to protect your daughter in that accident. So, God, I pray now that she would continue to give her life unto you.